from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
When has a plant-based burger ever competed with a real burger? It's not the same thing.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
You know, to me, still thinking of Joey Chestnut getting hosed, frozen out of Coney Island. It's like when the maestro didn't want Jerry Seinfeld to move to Tuscany.
Oh, the maestro.
Remember the maestro?
I do remember that, yes.
Do you know that the maestro...
Is he the one with the pants off, too? He had to have the pants off?
Correct, yeah. To preserve the crease.
Yes.
Also, that guy was in Animal House.
I don't know
if it was Niedermeyer. Was it Niedermeyer?
I haven't seen that movie.
On the horse, right?
It was one of those guys in Animal House. The maestro.
There's a lot of fame, like sneakily famous people in that. Like you look back,
incredible.
Tom Holtz who's in that. He's one of the frat bros. He played Amadeus in the movie Amadeus.
The ones who come to mind for me: Terry Hatcher,
mm-hmm.
Catherine Keener, great actor. And you can say actor now with a woman. They prefer that.
You know where Animal House was filmed, right?
I as Ed McMahon would say, I do not know.
On the campus of the University of Oregon.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go, Ducks.
Yeah.
No wonder it was always gloomy for those outdoor scenes.
If you ever take a tour of the University of Oregon, they'll tell you a story about The Graduate, which was shot at Berkeley's campus.
Correct.
It was originally offered at Oregon's campus. The Oregon president turned it down. The success of the film went crazy, so he promised himself, the next time a film comes to our school and wants to shoot here, I'm saying yes. And the next film that happened was Animal House.
Oregon in trouble, by the way. First year in the Big Ten, Steiny.
That's
why.
They got to deal with Ohio State, the Ohio State University.
You hate to see it.
That's tough.
The Graduate was a great movie, but there's still one question that's never been answered. Why, when Dustin Hoffman was driving from L.A. to the UC Berkeley campus, did he take the Bay Bridge? It makes no sense. Why didn't he take 880 North?
It's true.
He should. It was an accident. Please. They didn't have Metro traffic back then.
Is that where that the Mrs. Robinson song comes from?
Okay. Simon and Garfunkel.
Thank you. All right.
Cuckoo ca-choo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I am the walrus.
No. Oh, no. Yeah, no, you're right. I'm thinking of...
That's different.
Oh,
no, that's the Beatles.
The Beatles.
Right? No, yeah. That's the Beatles. Yeah. Cuckoo, ca-choo. But I'm thinking of... here's to you.
We are kind of a father-son combo. I'm actually kind of seeing you now.
There's something in there like that. Anyway, let's go to Dave in Fresno. This ain't Fresno. What's up, Dave?
115 there.
What's up? Yeah, hey. You know, guys, hey, you know, I'm listening to the conversation. I want to get in there and get you guys' thoughts.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, the Niners, Shanahan in the front office is not giving real reason for optimism right now. Uh-oh. These days, you know. It's like, you know, for the IU situation. Like, why? I have a question. Why not get that situation settled or work out a contract with them before you go sign Leonard Floyd or re-sign McKivitt or even re-sign Jane, who plays the same position, if Ayuk is what they said in their little at the podium there in their press conference where, you know, they was hyping him up and he's a big part of the offense, yada, yada, yada. If that was the case, you would have got that deal done before you started spending your money on outside people and even Jennings. And with Shanahan, it's like, he walks in, it's just like the same old Shanahan. You know, I get it, we have a great roster, but when is he going to adapt? When is he going to change? Because right now, you know, you got Trent Williams holding out, and he kind of got the Niners, you know, right where he wants them. Because without him, do you trust the rest of that unit to protect or even, you know, establish a run game? He is the offensive line. He can ask for whatever he wants or just retire or ask to be traded. He has the Niners right where they want them. The Niners' inability to, you know, invest in that position, that offensive line, that you kind of have to have Trent Williams at this point. So there's a lot of factors where I just see, like, he just so arrogant. You guys are like, oh, Brady. To be honest, I don't even think that's true. I think he's just saying that to get people off his back because it's been reports that he wants Brady, he wants Stafford, he wants these guys. In actuality, in all reality, dude, I feel like he just wants anybody who's going to listen to him. I feel like he wants to be the quarterback, and he wants somebody out there who's an extension of him and will just follow the rules, follow what I say, call the play, throw an audible line. I have the perfect play every time, just execute it.
Yeah.
So until he changed that in his little arrogance, like he walks around like he's Bill Walsh, and fans, they treat him as such. Oh, you want to go back to the Tom Sula days? Like, it's not even that. It's just hold this guy accountable. Hold the front office accountable. They talk to us like we're idiots. You know what I'm saying? Now look at us. It's just all this controversy.
Thanks, Dave. Not a Shanny fan.
No.
Super chat from Bill M.
A Shanna fan.
That's not bad. On the YouTube chat, cuckoo, cuckoo, Mrs. Robinson.
There you go.
So thank you. Terry Hatcher used to be a 49er cheerleader? Really? I'm seeing that. I'm also seeing that Terry Hatcher used to babysit for somebody who lived next door. Come on, please.
Gotta Google it.
You might. Okay.
By the way, I don't think he was like doing a conspiracy theory there that he never wanted Tom Brady all along. I was like, come on. He literally just had 3 minutes saying he's interested, but ended up picking Jimmy Garoppolo instead.
All right. So playing off that last caller. We talked about this a little bit before the show, and it's this. Okay, so what everybody try to remember back to the Super Bowl, this past Super Bowl, and I don't know when it was. I think it was probably in the second half. But remember when Travis Kelce accosted Andy Reid, stormed up to him.
Oh, he assaulted him.
Yelled in his ear, and quite frankly, more than startled Andy Reid in the moment. Then he proceeded to absolutely, positively lay into Andy Reid about something. And I remember watching that thinking, that is so uncool, man. Travis, I just lost a lot of respect for Kelce. What's he doing? That's your head coach. And then I thought, how come Andy Reid is like okay with it? You know what I mean? Like, huh, look at Andy Reid. He's like, he's still looking at his play sheet. It's almost like he said, thanks, appreciate it, Travis. Hit the pike, you know, noted. Okay, I got it. And then I just started to think, would Kittle ever do that to Kyle Shanahan? And I get it. Kittle's different. But there is something to the idea that even a guy like Andy Reid, who had Super Bowls, he's been coaching for 20-plus years, there's something in Andy Reid, after I weigh that whole situation, I've come to the conclusion that there's something about Andy Reid. He knows it's a player's league. He just knows it. He knows he's a great coach, but he knows it's a player's game. And so when Kelce did that to him, Andy Reid's first thought wasn't, what are you doing to me? Don't treat me like that. I've been in this league 20 years. You may think this is a stretch, but I just can't imagine someone doing that to Kyle Shanahan and him not having a real problem with it. Like, almost a problem to the extent that he might not play the guy after he felt like he got embarrassed on the sidelines.
You want to hear the exact quote after they had won the Super Bowl? Now, maybe it's different had they lost the Super Bowl and that confrontation is on like the front page of Kansas City, just anger boiled over. This is what Andy Reid quoting after the game. This is today.com. Quote, he was really coming over just to go, just put me in. I'll score. You know, so that's really what it was. But I love that. I mean, it's not the first time. So listen, I appreciate him. He goes on to say, then he came over and gave me a hug after and said, sorry about that. But you know what? He just wants to be on the field and he wants to play. And so there's nobody I get better out of than I get from him. He's a competitive kid. You know, he loves to play and he makes me feel young. I don't think Kyle Shanahan's ever saying that if George Kittle goes up out there and lambastes into him and shoves him a little bit on accident.
I don't either. And if there's a coach that doesn't deserve what Kelce did, you would think it's Andy Reid.
Yeah.
And so that like
he's a player's coach. You would say Andy Reid is a player's coach.
Right.
Would you say Kyle Shanahan is a player's coach? Because I do think
he's more like Tom Thibodeau.
Oh, interesting.
And that means
they play hard for him.
Yes, but certain guys he reveres. And I don't think of sexy when I think of Tom Thibodeau. But I think that, for example, Christian McCaffrey, he has no problem with Kyle Shanahan. Why? Because Kyle uses him. And they know that they respect that part of Kyle Shanahan. But I do. Like, what's crossed my mind a lot is, oh, Tom Brady. Okay, they had two chances with Tom Brady. Well, okay, he said he wanted Tom Brady. He might have, but I guarantee you that one of the things that came into play for Kyle Shanahan, and keep in mind, we're talking about 5 years ago when he's only 3 years into his coaching tenure, there had to be something about not going all in on Tom Brady at that time. Where Kyle Shanahan felt like, I mean, it's Tom Brady. I'm not even really going to be able to coach him. How much input is he really going to take from me, a guy that's never won a Super Bowl? And I do think there's a challenge for a third year coach like Shanahan at the time to coach Brady. Okay, now we fast forward to Brock Purdy. Kyle Shanahan can coach Brock Purdy any way he wants, and Brock Purdy's going to play for him. We all know that. Brock Purdy's not going to be an attitude problem. And so Kyle's got a comfort level with Brock Purdy. I think that's better than any quarterback he's had with the Niners. And it might have something to do with Purdy's the best quarterback he's had. But then we go to Jimmy Garoppolo. We go back to Jimmy Garoppolo, and I think one of the reasons that Kyle wasn't crazy about Garoppolo is because Shanahan thought, who the hell is this guy to buck me? Like, who the hell is Jimmy Garoppolo who is trying to tell me we probably shouldn't be doing things this way, or you're not putting me in a great position, or you're asking me to do stuff like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And Shanahan, because of who he is, looks at Garoppolo and's like, you got to be kidding me. I'm not putting up with it from you. I'll get a better quarterback who I won't have to put up with it at all in Brock Purdy. So I absolutely think there's something about Shanahan where he does want to control more so than some other coaches. But maybe if he ever wins a Super Bowl, or if he coaches another 5 or 6 years, then maybe he'll realize, you know what? I've got to be more flexible. I've got to be more flexible. I've got to maybe acknowledge more of what some of my quarterbacks have said to me over the years about me putting them in a box or what or whatever it is. I absolutely think that it's not just a matter of, let's just get a great quarterback in here. That great quarterback has got to be, that's what Kyle Shanahan meant about, you know, I need my guy to be on the same page with me.
Yeah. Again, this all stems from the word I kept thinking about when you were saying that was just insecurity. That's just, but that comes with the level of getting older as a head coach.
Right.
Right. And you were alluding to Andy Reid for that. It took Andy Reid, like, you don't think Andy Reid dealt with drama before Travis Kelce? You know what he dealt with in Philadelphia?
Right.
Nothing but drama. That market will eat anyone up alive. They're already talking about firing Nick Sirianni a year after being from a Super, like, a quarter away from winning a Super Bowl. They're talking about firing him. Doug Peterson was only, what, less than 2 years removed from winning a Super Bowl? Their first Super Bowl ever, and they moved off of Doug Peterson in a heartbeat. Like, he stayed there for 10-plus years and never won a Super Bowl. That speaks volumes to the character of an Andy Reid and how much people respect and love him. But part of that is also Reid knowing his deficiencies a lot for a very long time, and maybe still to a little bit to this day. The number one thing with Andy Reid, aside from just can't win the big one, was clock management.
Right.
I mean, it was always clock management. Did that seem like a problem last year at all? Clock management in the Super Bowl, the biggest game of his life. Part of that is Patrick Mahomes and the quarterback,
right.
The urgency. Donovan McNabb famously was not ready to run that 2-minute offense in the Super Bowl. Guy was like throwing up or something like that. He was just winded. It wasn't a good time. He had Terrell Owens he had to deal with, who was, by the way, one of the all-time performances still in the Super Bowl is Terrell Owens as an Eagle with a broken leg, doing what he did at 100-plus yards.
No, please.
Are you kidding me?
Kevin McHale played with a broken ankle, 1987.
Is that football?
No, it's
Are they tackling
basketball.
Him? Come on.
Oh, boy.
It's not even close.
Oh, McHale was dragging his... Please. He's dragging that leg around.
Don't even compare Kevin McHale to Terrell Owens.
Oh, I would never.
To the grace.
I would never, because McHale is a 3-time champion.
Oh, please.
Mm-hmm. Hall of Famer.
So is Terrell Owens.
Barely.
Barely.
Okay. Did he have a ceremony in Canton?
He didn't want to.
Thank you.
They stuck it to him,
Steiny.
They stuck it to him.
Put an asterisk next to... Owens.
Second ballot. Should have been first. It's because he was a little disgruntled to the media.
He was jealous
of his six-pack in the driveway doing his sit-ups with Drew Rosenhaus.
That happened in Philly.
It did.
It had an indelible... it's indelible.
But you get what I'm saying here, right?
Yeah, I do.
Shanahan, he's still relatively young for coaches, which I think a lot of people just sleep on that. How old is he? 45? Something like that? Let me look up his age real quick. Kyle Shanahan. He's... 44. He's not even 45 yet. He'll be 45 in December.
By the same token, he's been
still.
In football his whole life. Like, he is kind of like Sean McVay.
But as a head coach, it's different.
Is it?
Yes, because Andy Reid had also been a coordinator for a very long time. Hell, he was a coordinator at San Francisco State when they had a program.
Well, let's compare Kyle to Sean McVay then. Because
okay.
I think Sean McVay is more, I was going to say humble. But, like, Sean McVay has every bit the pedigree.
He is more of a player's coach than
exactly.
Kyle Shanahan is.
And he's young.
He's endearing to the media. You could see him getting the John Madden comps, like, just, you know, retiring early, got his Super Bowl, and going to the media immediately. I think he'd shine there.
Right.
The way he speaks, the way he can recollect things, the way he can be personable. Yeah, I think that's a great comparison for him. A guy that I think a lot of people gravitate towards. And there is something, if you want to use the word arrogant, that's fine. I think it if anything, it is a deserved arrogance slightly with Kyle because he is just so damn good as a head coach. He's gone to 2 Super Bowls with 2 different quarterbacks, something Sean McVay did as well, and also won the second time with Matt Stafford. But they go about it differently. They definitely do. And there is something too. I think Sean McVay isolating the guy he wanted in Matt Stafford, getting him, and then winning immediately with him. Kyle Shanahan has been kind of tiptoeing around who he wants, and he hasn't been decisive with that quarterback. Will he do that next year and give Brock Purdy that contract? We'll see. But he had the opportunity to get Tom Brady, and he didn't. And I think that's going to stick with him for a very long time still.
I just look at it as though, okay, Sean McVay was the son of a Super Bowl winning executive father. Okay, John McVay.
So, grandfather.
Okay, grandfather. Yeah. But McVay came into a football family.
Correct.
Kyle Shanahan came into a football family. Why did McVay come onto the scene as a coach, clearly more of a player's coach, than Shanahan, who seemed to come in and, even though he was a first-year coach, really had an elevated opinion of himself. And I shouldn't say that, but he's more my way or the high, not my way or the highway, but he's just less in tune with players who are closer to his age than other coaches. You know what I mean? Like, they're both young coaches. Why is McVay a player's coach? And Shanahan's not really a
player's coach. I do think there is a slight generational difference, though, because McVay is 6 years younger than him. He's 38. So I think he would be considered a millennial still, if we're just going just nuanced here. But and there's a generational gap here a little bit.
Right.
But I do think it is different. It was John McVay who was his grandfather. So yes, he was kind of brought up in a football family. But I do think Kyle being the son of an NFL head coach, a Super Bowl winning head coach, and being on those sidelines with John Elway, Shannon Sharpe, all those, I think right. That does shape him a little bit and saying, you know what, I am a little bit better than you at all this stuff because I've been a part of it longer than you. I know what it takes to win. I know what my dad, I know how much he grinded to win. I know how much it does take. So I do think there is, again, I think there is a deserved arrogance when it comes to that because you know what, you have to have a chip on your shoulder. You have to. And he has a massive chip still on his shoulder, and he wants to prove to everyone that he has what it takes to win a Super Bowl. He's just come up, again, he might have just lost to the greatest quarterback of all time, and that's just the way the cookie crumbles. And then you know what?
Right.
It sucks, and that's just what, he might have to live with that the rest of his career if he doesn't win the big one. He ran into, you know, the GOAT. Sorry. It is what it is.
Will's in Pleasanton. Hey, Will, how you doing, man? What's going on, brother?
What's up, guys? Just I feel like the Trey Lance trade is still coming back to bite the Niners, and the fact that they gave up draft picks to get him. If they didn't make that trade, they'd have draft picks, and let's just say they hit on half of them, or let's just say they hit on all of them instead of having to go out there and plug holes by bringing in some veterans or some older guys in the league who are proven and they've been very good. But maybe you wouldn't need to be paying them now because you'd have those young studs you drafted correctly, and you'd still be like a kind of a Brock Purdy situation. You wouldn't need to be paying as much as the older guys.
Spadone?
Yeah, it's a good point. The Trey Lance, we haven't really brought up his name at all, but
no.
That is a name that we should have brought up because you know what?
This is the ghost of Trey Lance.
Thank you, Tyler and SF. Villain Doobie Award winner last year on the Morning Roast. Yeah, the Doobie Award, Steiny. I don't think you were nominated this year. We'll try to get you in there, though, this year.
415 says, Steiny, I disagree. Kyle is a player-friendly coach in the way Pat Riley was player-friendly. See, I think Kyle's a player-friendly coach to his stars, to the guys that he absolutely knows he needs. I can transfer it to Brandon Ayuk. When Brandon Ayuk was a rookie, it was easy for Kyle Shanahan to put him in the doghouse. Like, he's the kind of guy that he knows who not to mess with. He's not going to mess with Trent. He's not messing with Kittle. Not messing with McCaffrey. Not messing with Warner and Bosa. And maybe that's just smart coaching. But I don't think, let's say, players 10 to 50 on the roster, 15 to 50, I think they operate out of a little fear of Kyle Shanahan because he is pretty, he can be pretty ruthless.
It's better to be fear or loved.
I think it's better to be loved.
It's nicer to be. You'd like to feel the love.
Absolutely.
But fear keeps people in check as well.
But who's to say you gotta have one or the other?
You don't.
Andy Reid seems like he's loved and he's...
I don't think he's feared, though. That's fine. He got Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I would answer that.
There you go.
I don't want to be disliked, and that's why I've got such a chipper personality. I'm friendly, and
that was a Bronx Tale, by the way. That was Sonny. Have you ever seen the movie The Bronx Tale?
It's got De Niro,
correct.
But I haven't seen it.
It's good. He posed the question to
Ray Liotta.
No. Chaz Palminteri.
Oh, okay.
Something I forget how.
Tatum Channing. Was he in it?
No. This kid that was in it was from The Sopranos as well. I forget his actor's name.
Oh, the
Coldrow was the main kid's name. They called him C. But yeah, anyways, that's where I got that from.
That was a good movie.
It was good. It is good. Trey Lance, though, going back to the last caller, that furthers why, again, you messed up on Brady not getting him, is because you realized soon after, just a year removed from the Super Bowl, that you wanted to move off of Jimmy Garoppolo. 1 year is all it took to say, you know what, I made a mistake, so let's go get Trey Lance.
What's a bigger mistake?
And then he made a mistake on that, too.
Getting Trey Lance or not getting Brady?
Oh,
yes.
Whiffing on Brady's way bigger. It's like close. What a Super Bowl.
All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. What's coming up next on The Game is presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
Ever hated their nickname. Steiny, you love it.
Okay, what if I started calling? Hey, what's up, fat boy?
You wouldn't be talking to me.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
I've been meaning to say something. The fact that we, as a nickname, as a society, accepted Fat Andy Reid as a nickname is it's kind of wild. Yeah,
I've never heard that.
There's a couple of broadcasters here in San Francisco Bay Area that broadcast on certain airwaves that just say Fat Andy Reid. Guru's one of them, by the way. I've
really?
Heard Guru say it. Yeah.
Well, he's got a lot of nerve. Hey, Dylan Cease with a no hitter today.
Ooh, you know what?
For the Padres.
You know what ceased to exist? The Nationals bats. Thank you.
Yeah.
Come on, that's a four.
No way. No chance. Could have done something with those bats. Cease and desist. Mm-hmm.
That didn't do anything with the bats there, though.
Let's go to Larry.
Yeah, you pivot to Larry.
In Lafayette. What's up, Larry? How you doing? Larry in Lafayette. What's up, Larry? John Salad.
I think Kyle's inability to judge quarterbacks and scout them correctly and get them on his team goes back a year earlier when they could have had Mahomes at pick three. Before they were even worried about, you know, I think they picked a middle liner, a linebacker, I believe, that year.
And is that Solomon Thomas?
3 years. Yeah.
I mean, I know Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky bring that up. They could have had what? Mahomes. They could have had Deshaun Watson. I mean,
He was thinking about Kirk Cousins, and he thought he was going to get him cheap, and then Kirk signed.
Right.
Back with the team. Yep.
Appreciate it, Larry. I think Kirk Cousins has been his biggest mistake. He just hasn't found a way to bring him on to Niners.
They weren't going to draft Patrick Mahomes third overall. Like, that just wasn't happening. Now, could you trade back and then do something like that? Sure. Again, that goes to scouting. That goes to all this sort of stuff. Now, famously, Sean Payton said he was going to take him to for the Broncos or the Saints at the time. I was like, okay, let's relax here. The revisionist history on who was actually going to take Patrick Mahomes is kind of ridiculous. But Deshaun Watson was the name. That was one where it was just like, oh, okay. And this is before, obviously, all the massage Watson stuff came out, all that. So, yeah, I just don't think they were ever going to do that. It was a bad pick. They've had some whiffs, but they've also hit on Nick Bosa, and it's kind of crazy. During the Kyle Shanahan drafting era, they've only re-signed one player in the first round that they've drafted.
And is that true?
It's Nick Bosa.
That's interesting.
They didn't re-sign Mike McGlinchey, Reuben Foster, night-night, Solomon Thomas, night-night. It's pretty wild. Don't know anyone else. It's going to be, you'd think.
Javon Kinlaw,
thank you. True. Mark Randy. And then also, Brandon Ayuk could be the one. But I don't know if they're going to do it.
That is interesting.
Holding in, though, Steiny. He's holding in. Does that mean anything to the coaches? Is that like...
Well, Shanahan said it doesn't mean anything.
Right? That's kind of like... I
don't see the difference is what he said, but...
Well, I guess he doesn't get fined, but because he is still on the rookie contract, they can waive the fines anyways. Is that how it works? Had he missed it, but he doesn't want to, so...
Right. Yeah. Let me tell you what... And we'll talk about this probably tomorrow, but Larry Sorensen? No, not. I always say Larry Sorensen.
Nick.
It's Nick. You know why I say Larry Sorensen? Larry Sorensen used to be a pitcher for the Milwaukee Brewers. L-A-R-Y. Not two R's. Ooh. I want to say he was Dutch.
It's like Mark
or from the Netherlands.
Mark with a C.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I'll get more info on that. But it's almost like a little bit like Todd Gack.
Mm.
What kind of name you think that is? I think it's Dutch. Remember that in Seinfeld?
Gack is his last name?
Go ahead.
Fun fact, my wife works with Larry Sorensen's sister.
You mean the guy who used to pitch for the Brewers?
Yeah. Well, he played for the A's, too. So that's how.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I once saw Larry Sorensen go 7 2/3 inning of no-hit ball against the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. I swear to God.
Who did he give up the hit to?
Chris Chambliss.
Oh, the great Chris Chambliss.
In fact, I went back.
Like Dylan Cease.
You know what's funny? You know what I love to do? Yeah, I know. A little weird. I looked up Larry Sorensen's, all his game logs, and I was able to find the game in like 1977 that I went to.
That's fun.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Hey, are you, let me ask you this. Are you, we have our, I don't even know what his title is, but he's the man. Tim Jordan. You all have heard of his name. He does everything around here.
The master of engineering is
exactly
what I call him.
Are you more like Tim Jordan, Spadone, or are you more like me? And here's what I mean by that.
Boy.
I said to Tim Jordan about an hour ago, I walked up to him and he was on the phone. And he looks up at me right away and he puts the phone down. And he goes, what can I help you with? And I said, I'll tell you, you know, you always ask what could be better. And I think you're great as is, Tim. But I'll tell you what would be great if we could get some USB ports in the studio. And he said, oh, okay. 14 minutes later, we now have USB ports in the studio. Okay. When my partner says, hey, Stiney, let's get on that garbage. Somebody needs to take the garbage out. I'll say, oh, yeah, I got you. And then 4 minutes later, she'll take the garbage out.
Oh, God, it's the worst. I hope Jay's not listening still.
And I'm like, I get 4 minutes to do the task? Anyway, she's one of these people. Tim's one of these people. On their to-do list, they're just crossing stuff off left and right.
Different, though, at home versus at work. Tim is in the workplace right now. I would also, if Stiney, you told me to get a certain sound. If you told me to get a certain sound, I would do it immediately. But the missus at home telling me to vacuum the stairs where the cat's litter boxes are real quick, it's just maybe when I go back upstairs.
Okay, so essentially what you're saying is Tim Jordan shirks responsibility at home.
I never said that. I just have never seen him in the workplace. You're assuming he's a trash getter immediately. I don't know if that's the case. Or is he the one telling the other people to take out the trash? Because he takes out the trash here, metaphorically,
yes, he does.
All the time.
Yes, he does. I mean, he's working on his third straight MVP award.
It's huge.
Yeah, I mean, he's unbelievable. He absolutely is. Oh, man, it's been a fun day. Dow the Guru, well, I shouldn't say that, because if Guru hears it, he'll say, Stiney, why was it such a fun day at 1:38? I wasn't there.
Wow.
You getting at something? Anyway, get well
it's
soon.
It's bothering me.
Get well soon.
Hope you're feeling better, bud.
You know what? I texted him about an hour ago, and he hasn't gotten back to me. I said, Goo. Oh, no, he did. I said, Goo, you good? And he said, food poisoning.
Oof.
Be back tomorrow.
Oh.
Of course.
That's a quick bout, then. It knocked out the missus a couple weeks ago for a damn near a whole week. It's tough. If you have it like really bad, I got food poisoning when I was honeymooning in Greece.
Oh.
On the island of Crete.
Oh, that's not a good place. No. Mykonos is a better place to get whatever you have.
Well, they're all beautiful. But Crete, it was really nice. It was kind of more of like a chill vibe. The village, it was very nice and beautiful. And we went out to eat. Maybe it wasn't food poisoning. Maybe I just caught a bug. Sometimes that happens when you're traveling internationally. But your boy was down for the count for like two straight days.
Yeah.
And Jade was honeymooning by herself, just walking around the markets and just buying stuff.
Well, it got her used to marriage. Yeah, by yourself. Hey, so...
Jesus.
Yeah, here's my issue with food poisoning. Because I think people use it as a crutch. Okay, I have a meal. It's now 3 hours later, and I'm like, uh-oh. Something's funky.
Yeah.
And then what happens? You know what happens. You vomit. You expel. But then it's over. Like, it shouldn't take 2 days. You get food poisoning, you expel, and it's over.
Yeah, but sometimes it's not just over. Sometimes it lasts. Like the cranberries, do you have to? Do you have to? Do you have to let it linger, Stiney?
I mean,
sometimes it does.
R.I.P. Dolores Reardon.
Yes. God, beautiful voice. Very
unbelievable.
Very unique.
Yes.
The song Zombie.
Oh, my God. I love that song.
As a kid, I thought it was like actually about Salvation. Zombies. That's a good one, too.
What's the one about the time is ticking?
But the Zombie song was about like war in like Northern Ireland, yes, and stuff like that.
Yes.
I thought it was about zombies.
There was a band in the 60s.
Resident Evil.
Called the Zombies.
Oh.
And they've got a song that I guarantee you've heard of. Time of the Season. It's the time of the season. Tell it to me. And then they also have a song called Tell Her No. Tell her no. 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 La 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 la. No. Na, 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 na. Yeah, Dreams.
Oh, that one, yeah, that one I know. Yeah. that's a good one. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
How does this crosstalk work? I don't think I've been here for... Actually, one time I was, yeah.
Here's how it works. Willard comes in, and he dominates the studio, and you just kind of listen, and you hope Dibs is in a good mood. And when he isn't, you make the adjustment, and you try to stay out of their way.
I am scared of
them. And then you listen to acknowledge things. What you do is you end up listening to everything you said wrong that Willard disagreed with. And then you leave and say, God, I wish I would have said this to Willard to retort. But because the pressure's on, I take
the
joke.
George Costanza trying to find the comeback.
Exactly.
Yeah, the jerk store called.
The jerk store.
You.
Exactly. By the way, that was a terrible line that he thought was great, but we can get into that on the other side. All right. Hey, don't forget, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. That segment also brought to you by Meineke Car Care Centers.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.